So what I want to talk about today, this is something that I've been thinking about a lot the past couple weeks, and it's with regards to happiness and finding true happiness and joy and contentment in our life. And a lot of this, what I'm going to cover today, is familiar. You've heard it before, but I think it helps to remember these things at all times, and that our source for joy and for happiness is given to us from God, and I wanted to talk about that today. And there's a great promise in Scripture, and that promise is that we can have peace and joy. It's a promise given to us by God. And in 2 Nephi 1, we read about that. We have two choices. We can have peace and joy in our life, or we can be miserable in our life. And that's what Satan would have for us, to be miserable and not to have peace and joy in our life, to have anger in our souls, to be contentious, and the devil wants to take away that peace. So let's turn to 2 Nephi 1, 115 to 121. This is on page 86, a very familiar scripture. It says, Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. So it's really part of God's plan for us that we may have joy in this life. It's, you know, one of the greatest gifts that God has given us, that we can have joy. We've got we know the gift of God's Son, but the gift of free will and this possibility to have joy in this life, to search it out on our own and to find that, it's really a gift God has given us. In verse 116, it says, And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time, that he might redeem the children of men from the fall. And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto men. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all, or to choose captivity and death, according to the captivity and the power of the devil. For he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. So, on the one hand, God wants us to have joy, and on the other hand, Satan whispers in our ear, he wants us to think about those things in life, to worry, to have anxiety, to get upset with our brothers and sisters, so that we would be miserable and we would go through life in a state of misery. So it's basically, it's two options that we have in life, and two options that where we need to choose, and we need to decide which option we are going to pick. Again, peace is a promise from God. Psalm 29:11 says, The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Again, it's a promise from God, that the Lord will bless his people with peace. And we are his people, and we can have peace. John 14:27, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And there's a peace that the world, or a great lie that the world tries to tell us about peace, how we can have peace, and we're going to talk about some of these lies that are told to us from the world. It has its own definition of peace, but there is a true peace, a state of peace and contentment that comes from God. And that's what I'm talking about today. Let's turn to Luke 1:76-79. So this is with regards, this is Zacharias talking here. We just went through this with the Christmas season, but let's start with verse 76. This is with regards to John the Baptist. It says, "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So God wants to guide our way. He wants to provide that path, that straight and narrow path, and provide that gate through repentance and baptism, following the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we do so, he's going to guide us into the way of peace. This is something that God has offered through his Son, this peace. In Matthew 10:34-36, now, there's different definitions of peace. Again, I'm talking about a peace in one's soul, a state of contentment and well-being. There's also the definition of peace, which is a lack of war. And that's not what I'm talking about. And you'll see in Matthew 10:34-36, God or Christ talks about a different peace that he did not come to bring. And that's verse 34. "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household." There is a peace that God gives us, a state of peace. But again, I am not talking about peace from a lack of war. And we see here, there will be disagreements even in one's family because of the gospel of Christ. Among friends, among people you acquaint with from day to day. Because there is a true path and there is a false path to salvation. So what does the world tell us? What does the world tell us how we can be peaceful? First one I thought about was with regards to those things we have. Possessions and money can bring happiness. And that really is a great lie that exists in the world today. And it does not ring true at all. And you'll find that you go out and you buy something and you bring it home. You think it's the greatest thing in the world. And you know, soon after you buy it and you get it home, you think, well, this isn't such a big deal. And then you'll turn to something else, you'll turn to the next thing, or you say to yourself, well, if I just had all this money, I would be really happy, it would take care of all my problems, I would have joy, and we don't find that that's true at all in life. Illegal drugs and alcohol bring happiness. And if you read your news, in Colorado, they just legalized marijuana. There's a lot of people out there that think this marijuana is going to bring them peace and happiness. They look to these things in the earth as opposed to looking to those things, that contentment that God gives us. And also alcohol and drinking. Sometimes you'll hear people talking about how they're going to go out for the weekend and how they're going to party and have a good time. And that's another lie. And those things really disappoint. The pleasures of the world, food, entertainment, etc., and life bring happiness. And, you know, sometimes people find themselves overeating, binge eating, binge drinking. They can't get their hearts off of food. And that sort of thing leads to obesity. And also entertainment in the world today. You know, there's a lot of different things that we can entertain ourselves with, but they do not bring happiness either. Worldly wisdom brings happiness. That's another lie that's told to us. And worldly wisdom, we need a degree of worldly wisdom. You know, for example, I had to go to college And I got the degree I got, and it's been a blessing to me and to my family. I've been able to pay my bills. But this wisdom itself does not bring happiness. And King Solomon found that out. He searched out for wisdom and the things of the world, and it was vanity. And he was not happy because of it. It's another lie. A person can make us happy. Your friends and your family and those you associate with can bring joy to you. They are a blessing. But nobody can make you happy or give you that state of happiness in your life. You cannot rely on somebody for your happiness. And, you know, you hear songs on the radio about that. Love songs, this and that. You know, my reason for living is because of this person or that person. And that's a lie. Our job makes us happy. Our job is not going to make you happy. A job will provide for your needs, but you can't rely on your career to make you happy. It's not the true happiness that God offers. What about a hobby? And I think about this a lot. I think about there are people, a lot of people in this world that spend their whole lives dedicated to something or something. And they give all their time to it for the whole life. And there's all kinds of different things that people give their lives to. And there are good causes, but then there are things that people do. Everybody, it seems like, has got something different that they do. And they think that is their reason for living to a certain degree. And we need to be careful about that. Fame or star power makes us happy. We are to be servants and we are to humble ourselves in the eyes of God. And puffing ourselves up is not going to make one happy. I don't know how many of you have experienced what's called a midlife crisis. There are various things that can trigger what is called a midlife crisis, and I kind of made a list here. A perceived lack of purpose in life, and we have to be aware and know that our purpose comes from God. He has a purpose for us, and there are things that He wants us to do and goals He wants us to achieve, and that's the purpose we are supposed to have, the purpose that comes from God. What about regrets over goals not accomplished? And I myself, I guess, kind of went through an early midlife crisis. It was probably about 15 years ago, maybe. No, it wasn't quite that. Before I was a member of the Church of Christ, but let me go back. In high school, when I graduated, I had received a scholarship to attend Ball State University as a music major, and I went to Ball State for a year. In the first semester, I studied music engineering, studio work, and I missed home. I wanted to come home, and so I decided to change to electrical engineering degree the second semester, and I just transferred my credits, and I came back home to Fort Wayne, and went to Purdue University here in Fort Wayne, but there was always something in the back of my head. I wondered if I had made the right decision or not. Well, now I know that I did, but there was a time when I didn't know, and I thought, well, man, I should have stayed there. And I came to have these regrets in the back of my head about some of these things, and I decided I was going to go back to school. This was probably about 11, 12 years ago, and I went back to school, and I was in the guitar ensemble at the local university here, and I wanted to be a music minister in the church. And, you know, that's not a bad thing. I don't believe people should be paid for being a music minister. But it was something. My point is that I was doing it for the wrong reason. I had a selfish goal. Because of these regrets, when God had blessed me with the job I had and blessed me with so many things in life, I just didn't take account of those blessings, and I was searching for something because I had these regrets. But now I no longer have these regrets. I have a great peace in my life. But this is one of these things that can lead to what they call a midlife crisis. So I had this crisis, and I guess it wasn't really midlife. It was early midlife, I guess you could call it. Contemplating your career. There's a lot of people that contemplate their career. I've done it many times. And sometimes you do have to make a switch. Sometimes you have to go back to school. So that you can do what you want to do, what God has, God's given people certain skills. He's made them a certain way, and I believe you do have to find that right job. But in my own personal experience, God had put me where He wanted to be, and I wasn't satisfied with that. So you got to be careful that, we don't run away from that career or that business where God wants us to be. Empty nest syndrome. I think about this sometimes one day when my girls leave home and, what it's going to be like. And, I hope and pray that I will still have a peace in my life, and I believe I will. Physical changes associated with aging. I just had a birthday yesterday, and a couple weeks ago I was, when was that? When was Bible study? I announced Dennis's birthday, how old he was, and after I did it, I felt kind of bad, but I know he doesn't care. Dennis doesn't care. But we've been kind of teasing each other back and forth about it, and I knew he was going to try to get back to me about it. And so the other night during Bible study, he brought it up. And so I had made a copy of my birth certificate, and I was all prepared. And I took some white out, and I covered up the year, and I changed the year. So I admit it, I changed the year. I changed it to 1981. I was actually born in 1975, for the record. So I turned 39 years old yesterday, and that, to me, sounds really old, 39. But, I know 39... to a lot of people is young, and I guess it's just because 39, you've got the 9, you're 1 year away from 40, you've reached the top of your 30s. And I was talking to Kelly about this yesterday, that when I turn 40, I'm going to have 40, and it won't sound as old anymore. So when you're 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, even 100, you can be young again. But when you're at that last number in the decade, it sounds really old to me. So what's the point I'm trying to make here? The point I'm trying to make is it really doesn't matter how old you are. This is just a shell that we live in, our bodies, and one day we're going to depart this shell and hopefully, enter into the paradise of God. But it's just a temporary state, and we can't get upset because of our age. There's no reason to. And you think about your spiritual health and your spiritual well-being, and you can ask yourself, are you a babe in the gospel? What's the spiritual state of your soul? Are you a babe? Are you spiritually mature? If you're spiritually mature and you've reached that perfect state, you are in your prime, right? You're in your prime of life. So it's almost equivalent to being in your 20s, maybe. I don't know what the magic number is, but that's really what we need to think about. Are we in our spiritual prime and not focus on the age of our body? And that's just something that that I thought about. I haven't reached my spiritual prime yet. I'm not even close. I'm, maybe I'm a teenager. I don't know. And of course, there's other things that can trigger a midlife crisis. But God gives us answers for each one of these situations. And there's a peace that we can get to avoid going through things like this. That's the point I'm trying to make here. So how can we find peace and happiness in life? There are a lot of scripture or answers in scripture, and let's go through some of those. First one, realize that God gives you worth. Psalm 139:14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So God, He made you. He made you marvelous in whatever state you are in. And there's a song, I thought of. It's a Stephen Curtis Chapman song. It's called Fingerprints of God. And it says, I can see the fingerprints of God when I look at you. You're a masterpiece that all creation, I can't remember the rest of the words, but you've got those fingerprints of God written over you, and God has made you the way He wants you, and you can take joy in that, that you're marvelously wonderfully and fearfully made. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And, you know, that really is the greatest gift, God's love for us. And we can take great joy in that we have that worth in God's eyes, that God would send His Son to die on the cross for us. 2 Nephi 1:29, it says, but behold, the Lord hath redeemed my soul from hell. I have beheld His glory. I am encircled about internally in His arms of love. Again, God loves us with a great love, and we need to consider that every day and take joy in that. And if you do so, that's one of those aspects that will bring happiness and peace in your life. Number two, come into God's kingdom. We need to humble ourselves and remove all pride. If you've got pride in your life, you're going to get upset when somebody says something or somebody does something. If you don't have pride, you're not going to worry about it, and it's not going to drain you down and drag you down. And let's turn to 2 Nephi 6, 83-85. This is page 110. It says, and whoso knocketh, to him will he open, and the wise and the learned, and they that are rich, which are puffed up because of their learning, and their wisdom, and their riches, yea, they are they whom he despiseth. And say they shall cast these things away, and consider themselves fools before God, and come down in the depths of humility, he will not open unto them. But the things of the wise and the prudent shall be hid for them forever, yea, that happiness which is prepared for the saints. So again, there's this happiness that is prepared for us, those that humble themselves and consider themselves fools before God. If we don't have that humility, then that happiness which God has prepared for us, we won't have. We cannot have. And the happiness that this world gives, the definition of their happiness is really different from the definition of happiness that God gives. We may think we're happy to a certain degree, but there's a true peace and contentment and happiness that God gives. Faith in God, Mosiah 2:1-6. It's page 219. So, and now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had made an end of speaking the words which had been delivered unto him by the angel of the Lord, that he cast his eyes round about on the multitude, and behold, they had fallen to the earth, for the fear of the Lord had come upon them. And they had viewed themselves in their own carnal state, even less than the dust of the earth. And they all cried aloud with one voice, saying, oh, have mercy and apply the atoning blood of Christ, that we may receive forgiveness of our sins and our hearts may be purified. For we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who created heaven and earth, and all things, who shall come down from the children of men, come down among the children of men. And it came to pass that after they had spoken these words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, and they were filled with joy, having received a remission of their sins, and having peace of conscience, because of the exceeding faith which they had in Jesus Christ, which should come, according to the words which King Benjamin had spoken unto them. So this peace that I'm talking about today, it's this peace of conscience. They were looking forward to Christ in the Scripture, receiving a remission of sins because of their faith. And because of that, they had this great peace and they were filled with joy. Christ had not even come yet, but just looking forward to that brought a peace to their soul. And this is something that I think we take for granted today as Christians. We get so caught up in what we do in this life and these things we have to take care of living in the land of America and our jobs, and we're so busy and our life sometimes is not simple at all, and we kind of lose track of this salvation that God offers, and we don't consider it as much as we should. And we do take it for granted. It really is a great gift. And in this passage here, these people realize that. And we should do that at all times too, and we can have a peace in our conscience. Along those same lines, repentance and remission of sins. Alma 18:5-10. Page 443. It says, "And now, my son Shiblon, I would that you should remember that as much as you shall put your trust in God, even so much you shall be delivered out of your trials and your troubles and your afflictions, and you shall be lifted up at the last day. Now, my son, I would not that you should think that I know these things of myself, but it's the Spirit of God which is in me, which maketh these things known unto me. For if I had not been born of God, I should not have known these things. But behold, the Lord in his great mercy sent his angel to declare unto me that I must stop the work of destruction among this people. Yea, I have seen an angel face to face, and he spake with me, and his voice was as thunder as it shook the whole earth." So this is Alma that's talking here. "And it came to pass that I was 3 days and 3 nights in the most bitter pain and anguish of the soul, and never until I did cry out unto the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy did I receive a remission of my sins. But behold, I did cry unto him, and I did find peace to my soul." So Alma received a remission of sins, and because of that, he had a great peace. So again, we can take joy and have a peace because of this remission of sins that God offers us. Receive the Holy Ghost and what the Holy Ghost offers. Galatians 5:22-23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." So you hear of the fruits of the Spirit all the time, but you know, do we really consider joy and peace as being a fruit of the Spirit? But it is. And it's one of the blessings of having the Holy Ghost, that it will give you peace and joy. And if you listen to its direction and how you live your life, it's one of these fruits that it will produce. Again, take joy in the gift of salvation. A very familiar passage, 1 Nephi 2:49-53. This is with regards to the tree of life. Page 20. "And it came to pass that I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. And it came to pass that I did go forth and partake of the fruit thereof, and I beheld that it was the most sweet above all that I have ever before tasted. Yea, and I beheld that the fruit thereof was white to exceed all the whiteness I had ever seen. And as I partook of the fruit thereof, it filled my soul with exceeding great joy. Wherefore I began to be desirous that my family should partake of it also, for I knew that it was desirable above all other fruit." So this fruit in Lehi's vision that he partook of, it filled his soul with exceeding great joy. So let's find out what the definition of that is. 1 Nephi 3:63-65. You skip ahead a few pages. 28. Verse 63, it says, Knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw? And I answered him, saying, Yea, it's the love of God, which sheddeth itself abroad in the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore, it's the most desirable above all things. And he spoke unto me, saying, Yea, and the most joyous to the soul. So these things that God offers to us, this fruit, this tree, and that's used in this comparison, it's the love of God. And, you know, it's a promise that because of the love of God, we can have great joy in our hearts. Mosiah 1:109, it says, And the Lord God hath sent his holy prophets among all the children of men to declare these things to every kindred, nation, and tongue, that thereby whosoever should believe that Christ should come, the same might receive remission of sins and rejoice with exceeding great joy, even as though he had already come among them. So again, they're looking forward to Christ. He hadn't already came. The prophets have testified of these things. And they took these people took this to heart. And they had great joy because of it, just looking forward to the remission of their sins. And, you know, we can take joy in the fact that Christ is going to return one day. And just like these people did, they were looking forward to Christ and the remission of sins. And we look forward to Christ, but we have received a remission of sins. And we are to remain on that straight and narrow path. Take joy in our free will. I talked about this a little bit, but our free will really is a great gift from God, and something that really brings joy to me, that I know God has given me the opportunity to come to know Him according to His terms, but by having this ability and in a soul and being able to figure out what the will of God is, and then one day, possibly receiving that reward of eternal life. And this gift of free will really is a great gift, and we need to be thankful for it. Another step in finding happiness is to keep Christ's commandments and apply His wisdom in our life. And we find a lot of verses about that in Scripture. And our brother Adam talked about the fear of the Lord a couple weeks ago. And it's one of those things that does lead to happiness. And Psalm 128:1-2 says, Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. So what does it say here? When we fear the Lord, we walk in His ways. What are His ways? His ways is that gospel teaching that He has given to us, those teachings of Christ to not judge our brother, and this and that, all these things that we find in the Sermon on the Mount. Walk in His ways. And it says, if we do so, it will be well with thee and we will be happy, because we know we are keeping the commandments of God, we are following His gospel, and we can take joy in that. We can have peace in our being that we are doing so. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So King Solomon had searched out various things in life, and it came down to the simple concept of fearing God and keeping His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. It's what we need to do to keep His commandments, to keep the teachings of Jesus Christ. Again, we need to be right with God and not live in sin. If you live in sin, if you live your life on the fence, you're not going to have peace in your life. You need to be hot or cold and not lukewarm. If you're hot, you can gain that peace. You can have peace within your soul because you know you are doing what God would have for you, and you are right in His eyes, and He will not spit you out. John 15:5-11. This is with regards to abiding in Christ. I know this is another familiar scripture. Verse 5. It says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So how can we abide in Christ? How can we abide in the love of Christ? That's by keeping his commandments. It says it right here. It also says in Scripture, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. He who does not produce fruit will be thrown into the fire. So we need to produce fruit in our lives. We need to keep the commandments. And if we do so, we will abide in his love, and we will have joy. It says that in verse 11, it says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So this teaching about abiding in Christ, so that we can have joy. Applying wisdom, Proverbs 3:13-26. There's a lot in this passage. That's beneficial for us. If I can get there. Proverbs 3:13-26. It says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. So when we find wisdom, we are happy. So length of days is her right hand, and her left hand riches in honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. We read about that, the tree of life. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, and understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thy eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. And this is one thing that really stuck out to me, verse 24. It says, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. And that's one of the benefits of having peace in your life. You know, sometimes it takes me a while to fall asleep. That's just the way my body is. But when you have a peace in your life and you're not afraid, and you're not fearful, it says your sleep shall be sweet. 25, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. So we are not to worry about those that may say something to us, something hurtful, because we have this wisdom that comes from God, not to be prideful. God will deliver us from the wicked, and he will be our confidence. And of course, where do we find wisdom? When is wisdom found in your scriptures? So that's why it's so important to read our scriptures. And when we know what it says, when we apply it in our life, we can have this joy and peace. It's what Alma said to his son Coriantun in Alma 19:74. It says, "Behold, I say unto you, wickedness never was happiness." Wickedness never was happiness. And that's another lie that the world tells us. We do these things that are in the world, these things that aren't right in the sight of God. It's not true happiness. You're not going to find happiness in those things. You will find happiness and righteousness and well-being before God. Along those same lines, 2 Nephi 1:88 to 90 says, "And if ye shall say there is no law, ye shall also say there is no sin." And we know that sin is not imputed when there is no law. And then verse 89, it says, "And if ye shall say there is no sin, ye shall also say there is no righteousness." And sin and righteousness, they are in opposition to one another. They are opposites. Verse 90, "And if there be no righteousness, there be no happiness." And this is what's interesting. Verse 90, it says, you know, it equates being righteous, receiving that remission of sins from God, with happiness. So it really tells us a lot. Righteousness goes hand in hand with being happy. That righteousness that God offers us through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. I talked about this a little bit. Don't have a life characterized by worry. That's another way that you can have peace in your life. If you're not always worrying about things and depressed about things, you can have a great peace in your life. And this is one of my favorite scriptures because I tend to worry a lot. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. I have on my desktop on my computer at work, I changed it a couple weeks ago and I put a picture of the lilies of the field. There was that first slide I had a picture of Jesus pointing to the lilies of the field. Well, I've got a different picture on my desktop of the lilies of the field because it reminds me not to worry. And even when I'm at work, when I've got things I've got to do at work, you know, it reminds me not to worry. And God has always provided for me at my job. There's always, you know, every once in a while there's something that comes up and you ask yourself, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to get this done? I don't know what to do. And it's always worked out for me. Always. Matthew 6, 25-34. A familiar passage. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of things itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And it's not that we are not to prepare for tomorrow, but we are not to be anxious about tomorrow, not to worry about tomorrow. And that is what Christ is telling us here. And this verse, take no thought, it means to be anxious about. And that's what we are not supposed to do. Proverbs 16:20, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." When we trust in God, it's another great promise here, that we will be happy when we don't live in a state of worry all the time. We cannot live in a state of worry. If you live in a state of worry and anxiety, you won't have happiness. And that's how Satan wants us to be. He wants us to be miserable. He doesn't want us to be happy. He wants us to worry all the time and to lose our trust in God. Philippians 4:6-7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So be careful for nothing. That's the same word, that Greek word, that's take no thought in Matthew 6. Make a request known to God, and it says, if we do this, we will have a peace of God, a peace that comes from God, a peace greater than anything the world can offer. I know this is hard. Rejoice even during trials. It's hard to see any light at all, to see the light at the end of the tunnel, to see what good can come of certain things in life. But let's turn to 2 Nephi 3:32 to 50. Page 92. This is a longer passage here, but it really tells us a lot. It says, my soul grieveth because of my iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which doth so easily beset me. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. My God hath been my support. He hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness, and he hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He hath filled me with his love, even unto the consuming of my flesh. He hath confounded my enemies into the causing of them to quake before me. Behold, he hath heard my cry by day, and he hath given me knowledge by visions in the night time. And by day have I waxed bold in mighty prayer before him. Yea, my voice have I sent upon high, and angels came down and ministered unto me. And upon the wings of his spirit hath my body been carried away upon exceeding high mountains. My eyes have beheld great things, yea, even too great for man. Therefore I was bidden, and I should not write them. Oh, then, if I have seen so great things, if the Lord in his condescension unto the children of men have visited me in so much mercy, why should my heart weep, and my soul linger in the valley of sorrow, and my flesh waste away, and my strength slacken because of mine afflictions? And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? Yea, why should I give way to temptations that the evil one hath placed in my heart to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? Why am I angry because of mine enemy? Awake my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger again because of my enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in thee, my God, and the rock of my salvation. So this really is a very uplifting passage to me, and an example, you know, when we're angry. Why should we be angry? Why? Why should we be upset or be in sorrow because of our afflictions when we have this great gift that comes from God? A lot of people today, there's a lot of people today that are depressed, and you know, a lot of people take medication for depression and this and that, and I'm not a doctor. I know, I'll put myself out there a little bit. There was a time in my life when I was somewhat depressed many years ago. But God delivered me from that, and he gave me a great peace. And I know he can do that with so many people that are out there that they don't need to rely on that medication, and they can come out of that by focusing on these things that God offers. That's something That's something that I've just been taught to me and something I have come to know. And I think it's a great blessing to us that we can have peace. And, you know, like I said, I'm not a doctor, and I know there are those that suffer with severe forms of depression because, you know, this world is very difficult. It can be very difficult. And, you know, some people are very sensitive, and some people, you know, their bodies just can't take it. But I know there are some forms of depression that God can lift you out of. He can. He really can. John 16:33 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So, Christ said we will have tribulation, but even so, we are to be cheerful. With regards to persecution, 1 Peter 4:14, "If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." So don't be upset if somebody puts you down or people look down upon you for some reason. You know, take joy in Christ and don't get so upset about it. Another big factor for peace is being content. 1 Timothy 6:6-11. We talked about possessions earlier and this lie that the world tells us that we need in order to be happy. 1 Timothy 6:6-11. "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." It says, godliness with contentment is great gain. And that great gain is a great peace that you will have when you are content in life. So let's not think about those things we don't have. Let's think about those blessings that we do have and take blessings in them. And if you do that, you will have this aspect of peace. This is my last slide. "Strive for and look forward to your eternal reward." 2 Nephi 6:36-42. There's a great promise to us. We follow the commandments of God, follow the gospel of Jesus Christ, we will have an eternal reward that lasts forever. 2 Nephi 6:36-42, it's on page 107. It says, "And it shall come to pass that when all men shall pass from this first death unto life, insomuch as they have become immortal, they must appear before the judgment seat of the Holy One of Israel. And then cometh the judgment, and then must they be judged according to the holy judgment of God. And assuredly as the Lord liveth, for the Lord God has spoken it, and it is his eternal word which cannot pass away, and they which are righteous shall be righteous still, and they which are filthy shall be filthy still. Wherefore they which are filthy are the devil and his angels, and they shall go away into everlasting fire, prepared for them, and their torment is as a lake of fire and brimstone, whose flames ascendeth up forever and ever, and hath no end. Oh, the greatness and justice of our God, for he executeth all his words, and they have gone forth out of his mouth, and his law must be fulfilled. But behold, the righteous, the saints of the Holy One of Israel, they which have believed in the Holy One of Israel, they which have endured the crosses of the world, and despised the shame of it, they shall inherit the kingdom of God, which was prepared for them from the foundation of the world, and their joy shall be full forever. So that's what we have to look forward to, that, you know, that the troubles in this life, they're only temporary, but we can take joy that we will have a great reward and of, you know, that eternal life being with God forever and ever. And that's one of those other things we need to focus on. So I hope that was helpful. There are, you know, various things I covered, but we need to remember each one of those things. And it's a great promise to God that He offers us through His Scripture and the Holy Ghost to teach us these things. And if we listen to His voice, we can have this great peace and contentment in our life. And I have come to have that contentment and peace in my life, and I know that you can too.